Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I don't care if it comes round here, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Can Manchester United stop Liverpool from winning again? Will Watford stink Spurs? And what will come from Steve Bruce's meeting with Mike Ashley? Welcome, one and all. We welcome Luke Moore to the pod.
Thank you. I feel very welcome.
We welcome Pete Donaldson to the pod.
Bishop Mazarewa.
We welcome me to the pod, but we don't welcome Jim Campbell.
He's phoned in sick.
He's not very well.
Pulled a sickie.
Sick, not Anderton.
If I've seen him on social media later, at
Larging
some kind of festival.
Festival? What kind of festival?
On the BBC Red Button, in the front row,
if I see
enjoying
him
in Stormzy.
If I see him in Parliament Square, bonging away.
Bong.
Bonging.
Half a million per bong.
Nice.
So
cheap, but half the price. I have two
of them.
Make it a cool mill.
Might be a half a million in total, actually. I'm not sure how many bongs are being
bonged. Got a new floor in, haven't they?
Yeah.
Can we not just have unlimited bongs for that amount of money? If you're going to put a floor in.
I mean, we own the bell. You could just I mean, we should be able to bong it for free.
So three in here.
They're talking about Big Ben, for those who are all
three bell ends in here.
Yeah.
We could Jim's bong. Not here.
Three massive bongs.
Yeah, with Cam Bell.
Cam, exactly. Correct. The Camp Bell could tell us.
Can we bing Bell's bong?
Should we do an hour on Jim?
Yes.
Ooh.
A real takedown, a real seismic takedown.
We have enough material?
I'm not sure.
Your face says we probably wouldn't.
No, I think it should be a special.
Yeah, okay.
Behind a paywall.
Yeah, special's a good word for it. Poor old Jim, we hope he gets better soon.
We really do.
R.I.P. Jim.
We love that guy.
He's off on a family holiday, isn't he? Every time he goes on holiday, he's
so he's not going to be here next week anyway.
All right. We could have pretended he was dead.
Oh, Pete.
Why?
Marcus, tell him.
We shouldn't.
We've got to go for a whole show of this.
Shouldn't
Why?
Pretend that.
We don't know whether he's dead or alive. Pete, Schrodinger's Jim.
That's how browbeating Marcus is when I ask him to deal with you. He just goes, Pete, you shouldn't have said that.
Actually, thinking about it, after last week, I'd like to apologise to Norman Whiteside's family.
For killing Norman Whiteside?
I killed Norman Whiteside. Yeah. I said that he had a widow. He doesn't. It could go either way.
And we copped a lot of heat, Marcus, and I. We copped a lot. Stop that. We copped a lot of heat, Marcus, and I, for not picking you up on that.
Yeah. I don't think you did, because I got all of the abuse.
No, we didn't pick up. We didn't pick up on it. But you have any idea, people listening, how much you'd have to be on what Pete says? You have to just let him be Pete. You can't monitor everything he says.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Although, he's only in his 50s
as well.
What about your Roman de Châtelet stuff? I didn't realise it was something Max Rushton did.
Roland de Châtelet, I didn't realise either. Oh. But I did run a little poll on it to see which of the four of us did the best Roland de Châtelet.
Yeah. Roland de Châtelet.
I came in fourth.
Great, I wasn't last.
With 9.5%. Marcus, you came in third with 14.3%. Pete, you came in second with 16.7%. The winner by a landslide, and he celebrated by taking the day off, with 59.5%. Mm. Jim Campbell's Roland de Châtelet. I'm only sad that we can't hear another rendition of it here.
Well, look, he can't stay fit.
No,
so you've got to just go with number two, all right?
Okay, so you do yours then.
Roland de Châtelet.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Do you reckon Roland de Châtelet, a la Big Sam's Casa St. James's Park, do you reckon he has a house called the Chateau de Rolandelet?
Marcus.
He could do.
Yeah.
But let's drop all that stuff, because apparently Rushton...
Yeah, Max Rushton said he's going to sue us. So we look forward to hearing from him.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Let's go to the Premier League, eh?
All right, then. We own the Prem. Yeah, Max isn't going to be talking about that on his pod, is he?
Probably not.
It's up to Barry.
Liverpool hosting those Manchester Uniteds.
Mm.
And Manchester United, they beat Wolves in the FA Cup this week.
They did. I enjoyed... I enjoyed it, but I also enjoyed Marcus Rashford turning up for the match with a bone healing device in a carrier bag.
Tell us more about that.
In a Manchester United branded carrier bag, he was holding an ultrasound machine that apparently stimulates bone growth. And you know me, I love tech. I brought the big rig in to use during the show to read the running order.
Is he trying to grow an extra leg then?
Well, I was thinking,
can you just
grow more stuff on you with this ultrasound machine? Could you like make like a bone coming out your neck? You go, what's that, Pete? It's my new bone.
Do more headers.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
He came on, and then went off again injured with some kind of...
Solskjaer got a knee in the back or something.
Mm. So he's listed as doubtful for the Liverpool game. But isn't it indicative of how much United need to win games? And like, we have to rely on this kid. He's played 200 games already. Yeah. He's literally only 14 years old.
He's having to grow his own more
He's having to grow
he's
more
grow
bones.
More bones. Yeah.
They're trying to grow players now, man.
I think so. But off Marcus Rashford.
He's the source. He's the source material.
It could well be. Hopefully the injury isn't too bad, of course. But Juan Mata got the goal.
Yes.
And we were talking about Juan Mata last time, saying he hadn't started that many games in the league. Obviously, this wasn't the league, this was the cup. But he impressed, and he was the match winner. Why is Juan not starting more? Will he start against Liverpool? I know, Luke, you described him as a floater.
Penny floater.
He's not a jobby that hangs around
he's not a jobby.
A train service toilet.
No. He's only 31 as well.
Mata.
He's almost 32.
Yeah.
He's almost 32, apparently.
Yeah. And that's not an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer kind of player, is it?
Well, I feel with that Liverpool midfield of front three, he may go for more industry in there. But do they have much industry? I mean, Scott McTominay's asked to do a lot of things.
He's injured as well.
Yeah.
And so I think it looks like he probably will play Mata, won't he? He might play Mata in front of Matic and Fred.
Tis the
Matic
season.
Matic is back, is he?
I think so, yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah. And maybe you could get Juan Mata and put him in that big particle accelerator in Switzerland so he could become... Antimatter, and then play him. When then he'd be like really evil. It'd be like, I'm out of my comfort zone here. But is there a situation where Spider-Man gets an evil Spider-Man in Marvel?
Well, there's like Bizarro World Superman, isn't there? So like all that business.
Get one of those, but with Matter, where he's opposite to the actual Matter.
Sub-Zero and Scorpion.
Yeah, like that in Mortal Kombat.
It's a palette swap.
Well, of course, if Sub-Zero sort of got hold of him, is it a bit of sort of snow dusting around? He'd be grey matter.
He would.
Yes.
Was there a secret third Mortal Kombat character who was green?
Yeah,
there's
been a few.
So Sub-Zero and Scorpion dressed the same. One was blue, one was yellow. One used to do the "Get over here," and the other one used to do the ice. Sub-Zero, obviously.
Yeah.
There was a third one. I want to say he was called
Brian.
Yeah, he was Brian Lizard.
Brian
Lizard. He's green.
Yeah, he was Lizard, wasn't
he? Brian Kilcline, wasn't it?
Brian Kilcline.
Brian Kilcline.
That's Brian Kilcline.
What are you doing dressed up as them?
After all that analysis of the game coming up, I think Liverpool will beat Man United.
Well, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Solskjaer has been the only manager in the league so far to mastermind, yes, mastermind, how to stop Liverpool from winning. Can he do it again? Now, the injuries would suggest not. The form book would suggest not.
Well, before that
the
match,
team would suggest not.
Well, before the match earlier in the season, obviously, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer did say it was the perfect match for them. And it kind of was, to be honest. Until, like,
Did they win the game?
No, it was a draw. So not a perfect match. He said before the match.
Oh, okay.
To be fair, they kept them out for what, about 85 minutes?
They did. Well, they went with two up top. James and Rashford, they won't do that again because they can't.
Well, if Rashford's...
And Liverpool were without Salah. And once they switched to like a 4-2-4, I think the Ox and Lallana, who scored the...
Lallana got the goal, yeah.
Lallana had a bit more bit more agency and urgency.
But United have been better against better teams, haven't they? Yeah. Overall. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you could say then, all right, well... They'll be better suited to this to perhaps a game against a lesser equipped team. But then they beat Norwich pretty handily last time out. So.
Yeah, well, I think with
Norwich are appalling though. Yeah, appallingly bad.
Well, I think the counter attacking is obviously what Solskjaer likes to do, and they have the pace to do it. If Rashford is not fit, that is a blow. You'd imagine Daniel James may well start the game because he just gives you that. You just can't push up that much because he is so
fast.
Quick.
But you know,
such a good outlet.
There's a little dig that we overlooked in the opening to this, Marcus, where you said the Wolves team selection suggests they respect Man United.
Yeah. Well, did the Wolves team?
Yeah. Well, because Wolves played like a strong team. Right?
Yeah. So, and we'll imagine if Klopp picks the young lads.
Imagine he plays the kids.
Like against Everton.
They were 1-0.
And he massively disrespects them. Yeah. I hope that happens.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. I like the thought.
He'd be fuming, would he not, Solskjaer, to see some youth team players line up against him. You don't respect us.
Yeah.
Who's he got on his side? his side are hardly long in the tooth, are they?
Do you think Arsenal fans are kind of getting a bit twitchy now about this Invincible thing?
They should
be. It's long enough in the tooth now to still be a concern, right?
I mean, it will blow them to bits because Liverpool have only drawn one game all season.
Mm. Yeah.
And didn't Arsenal, out of the 38 games, didn't the Invincibles draw 33 of those games? I think they drew 12 games that season.
Yeah.
They did. I'll find it. You carry on.
Football does have a tendency to play to the narrative. So, I mean... Yeah. They're going to drop points. It's going to be against United, who managed to do it early in the season.
They drew 13 games in total, apparently.
By the way...
That is a lot, isn't it?
That's across the 49 they went undefeated.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah. Still, though, it is a bit stupid as I'm hearing myself saying, well, they drew 30. They went 49 games unbeaten. Yeah. Won the league unbeaten season, so it's absolutely phenomenal. But if Liverpool carry on doing what they're doing, then yes, they will cement themselves as Invincibles extra.
And also it's a Sunday tea time thigh rubber as well. Let's not let that go unsaid.
Come on. Yeah, absolutely.
You'll be very, very happy with a 4:30 kickoff on a Sunday Liverpool Man. That's a classic. A classic Premier League fair.
Banger.
Yeah. Although I prefer
FA
the 4
Cup
o'clock.
Semi.
Yeah.
I prefer the 4 o'clock to the 4:30.
I know what you mean, but they've changed it a bit this season.
They meddle around.
When I used to work on the radio and my show used to finish at 6 and I used to do the football scores.
Yeah.
A match starting at 4:30 meant that I missed the last 10 minutes of the match while I was on air.
Did you just say this is the full-time result?
This is the full-time result.
I'm a punt. Might get it right.
Nearly fell off my chair.
This game is the equivalent of a band you really like watching them live and then the first song they do in the encore when they come back on, which is always a belter.
Yeah.
This is the equivalent of that. Oh, I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Did you know Jordan Henderson? He was voted England Men's Player of the Year for 2019.
Yeah,
I saw Raheem that. Sterling. I thought Sterling might get that gong.
I was going to say that that Sterling probably can feel a bit hard done by.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, Henderson's had a good year.
Maybe fantastic. Well,
I mean, perhaps people were looking at it from a club point of view as well. Obviously, he lifted that to Champions League. Although, you know, Sterling didn't have...
I
wonder if people had that in mind, maybe. When they voted, I mean, but then,
how was it voted for, Marcus?
Through England fans. That's how it's voted.
Okay.
But anyway, well done to all the people who were voted for. It's always nice to get a nomination. But yeah, Henderson's in there. He's having a good season, Henderson. He's kind of, I think he's just sort of going about his business without too much of a fuss.
Miller style.
Yes. There's an element of that.
Taking care of Bizboz.
Of Bizboz.
Bizboz.
I think it feels to me that maybe a few years ago there were conversations. It was one of those players, Jordan Henderson, where there would be conversations we probably have in the studio and people would have in the pub all over the country about whether they liked Henderson or not and whether they believed in what he brought to the team. Yeah. And he's just one of those players, and he almost like a bit of, he doesn't play like Carrick, but almost a conversational point like a Carrick.
Yes.
And you either recognise what he did or you didn't. And in the meantime, he's just quietly gone about his business winning every trophy he can.
Yeah,
and so I'm sure that probably solves the problem.
You're absolutely right. And I know you didn't, I know this is not what you were saying in that statement, but I think people perhaps wanted him to play like Carrick and play in front of the back four and try and distribute and so on. Whereas actually his best position is that kind of shuttler role. Mm. And he has been played, he's tried out in front of the back four. And the back three, back four. And now I think he is playing in that position where midfielders of that time, like Wijnaldum's a bit like that. People can sometimes, well, not everybody's a Liverpool fan, certainly wouldn't, but you can overlook the work he does and just how crucial it is. I mean, Wijnaldum starts pressing and pushing and showing that energy. He's got a lot more to his game. He's obviously a very intelligent player. His positional play and so on and so forth. But when the likes of Henderson and Wijnaldum just start pushing and pressing and showing that energy they have,
there's no hiding in a Klopp side.
There's no, and it's so difficult to play against.
And Wijnaldum's a good shout because it gives you an insight into how settled this Liverpool team is. I think Wijnaldum is the only player who starts regularly for Liverpool is not on a long-term deal at the moment. Right. He's got 18 months left, I think. All the others have signed up.
Yeah.
And I think, apparently, David Ornstein was talking
Wenger-esque.
About it. Quite Wenger-esque. Yeah. You see, we're taking inspiration for how Arsene Wenger does things. And, And so, and there's talk that one album's going to renew anyway, but they're such a settled team, Liverpool, and it's very, very hard when you're part of your job is to find a reason why perhaps they won't win a game.
Yep.
It is hard
every
week. And they keep winning and there's no end in sight. All they're going to do is do what Pete Ferguson United used to do, just strength from a position of strength already.
Yes.
But they're not desperate for players. Yep. So go, yeah, we'd like that player. Yep. Like, and the players they're talking about, your Sanchos, your Mbappes. We'd like to have Mbappe.
Yeah.
Not that bothered. No. We'll still win the league easy without him.
And the way they're playing and the way the manager is and his personality and all that kind of stuff is, if you're a top player, you want to go there now. And is such a...
absolutely right. And going back to Jordan Henderson, he's a good egg. He seems like a good egg. I like him.
Definitely. Well, Manchester United, they are, you could say, struggling to sign players now, or the type of player that maybe they want. But the rumours are rife that Pochettino could go there in the summer. And I thought to myself, if that's true, the last thing they need is for Solskjaer to go on one of those runs like he did last year.
Yes.
And you know, when he got given the job.
Yeah.
If they beat Liverpool on the weekend and put a string of results together, you sort of think, short-term gain, I don't know.
Smash up the Bourne machines.
Obviously, they want their two to win.
But the way Man United are signing players at the moment is they are flying over nations and dropping millions of pounds in notes. I'm just saying, have as much as you want.
Yeah.
Please, in return, can we have a player?
Dig in.
But on the Pochettino thing, he was at an event on Wednesday night, which our friend and colleague Andy Brassel was at. He talked about it a bit on OTC yesterday. And Pochettino, he signed on as a pundit for La Liga for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Right.
And he was asked some questions. And he was asked about Man United, but he was quite coy and he ducked it. He didn't give a kind of answer either way.
He went, ooh, maybe I will, maybe I won't.
For those listening, when I said that, Marcus's left eyebrow did a full Carlo Ancelotti. Yeah.
Well, I did a full 360.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Well, apparently there's
did a kickflip.
Did a kickflip.
Apparently a certain young member of the Manchester United side last month was very open in telling lots and lots of people that he knew that Pochettino may well be going there in the summer. And then he's since been silenced.
Who's this?
Well, he's not been killed. He killed him.
He played
6 foot of concrete.
Yeah.
No, not that.
He's gone the way of Jimmy Hoffa.
Jimmy Hoffa.
Who was it?
Or Jimmy Campbell.
Did you
even
say the player's name?
No.
You're not going to expose?
I can't do that.
Say who it was.
Deep throat.
Go on.
Oi.
Say something outrageous.
Luke. And that's a clue. All right then. Let's move on to Newcastle, or Newcastle, as us Southerners would incorrectly say, versus Chelsea. They dumped Rochdale out of the FA Cup this week, 4-1, Petey. Come on!
Mugged him off.
Fourth round.
Get
got,
in there.
Got Oxford next round. We could be in the fifth round for the first time since 2007!
Oh, yes. Look.
Pete, what else happened in 2007 that you look back on fondly?
Oh, I don't know.
When did Ashley take over? Was it
2007?
Yeah, it was. I'm sorry, but that is a
12 years of unfettered success.
That is absolutely
disgraceful.
Yeah.
Stinking. Oh. Absolutely
what,
stinking.
Peter, and is it? Were you pleased to see that that Steve Bruce and Mike Ashley are having a meeting about transfers on the 16th of January?
Oh, yeah, baby! Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's no way we possibly could have predicted this January transfer window. It was going to start on the 1st of January, and for that reason, yeah. we did not have a meeting beforehand.
It's so good. They met
Let's
this week.
Let's get to the chopper.
They met this week. It'll be the first meeting between the two of them since August. And apparently, Bruce and Ashley have not shared a phone call. An email, a text.
Or pizza.
Even a pizza or an emoji since that meeting. And Bruce said he just wanted to come in and see if he could give us a hand. He wants to have a cup of tea with me.
He's just popped in to see if there are any more Longstaff brothers knocking about. Because found because two, they appear to be quite good.
Yeah. They appear to be quite lucrative.
Yeah. So are we signing people? Oh. Not exactly. I've taken the Longstaff parents out for a romantic dinner, hoping they're going to hopefully sire two more Longstaffs, which should be ready in about 2038.
We'll grab that machine off Marcus Rashford and we'll be away.
Yeah. So, Peter, are you excited with the prospect of Joel Linton leading the line on his own against Chelsea this weekend?
No, well, 1 win in 5 years against Chelsea.
The way you say that, you don't play them every week.
No, but 1 win in five
twice
years.
A year.
Yeah. Well, 3 times, once in the FA Cup.
Joel Linton scored against Rochdale, that's good.
He did, yes, that tap-in from 2 yards was...
Doesn't count, Marcus.
What's the matter with you?
When you say that to a penalty box poacher like Marcus Speller, you insult him in every way.
They all count.
He looked at you back then like to say, some of my best work is done from 2 yards out.
Look, wait until my fourth score. So that's all I'm saying, guys.
Well, we will.
Lovely little pre-promotion.
But Almiron cannot stop scoring.
We're in the age of Almiron now.
Almiron whacking them in, lashing them on.
I apologise in advance. I have drafted him this week into my fantasy team.
Good
so
lad.
That will be drying up instantly.
That is unseemly. A terrible idea.
Mike Ashley was at the Rochdale game the first time he was in attendance at St James's Park this season. Mm-hmm. I just feel something's happening.
20,000 people fewer to shout at
him. I love that because he's gone... Right, I want to go to a game. Mm. I should really go, but it needs to be a game we're almost certainly going to win. Rochdale replay. Yes, I'm coming.
He couldn't believe his luck.
Keeper
when they got that
passing
replay.
It back to one of our players. Yeah. We'll have it.
We'll have it. Yeah, take it, mate. Goals are goals are goal, mate.
Mm. Yeah. So the transfer should come flooding in soon enough.
Yes.
But until they do, they've got to play Chelsea, And Frankie Lampard thought his side's 3-0 win over Burnley last week was their best home performance of the season.
Mm.
Big words from Frankie. Chelsea started that match with Reece James, Callum Hudson-Odoi, Mason Mount, Tammy Abraham, and Fikayo Tomori was on the bench. I thought, blimey, you know, there's so much young talent, English talent as well. You think about Chelsea, were they one of the first sides to, you know, field a whole team of non-English players?
I think believe under Vialli, maybe?
It could have been Chelsea, or maybe it was Arsenal, I forget which one, but you think of Chelsea having lots of signings and blah, blah, blah. And
You don't think of them as an English hotbed of football, do you?
No, you don't. Well, but they're tapping into, especially around
Jordan
London.
Style.
Yeah, they are. Well, I know Mason Mount is born in Portsmouth, I believe, Luke.
You know that to be true, Marcus. And, you can believe what you want, but you know that's true.
Under the shadow of the spinnaker.
And amazing, he escaped and is now a Premier League player. So you can do it, young people of Portsmouth. Yeah.
Exception that proves the rule.
But there's so much talent around... But especially South London, you know, articles have been written about certain areas, you know, where there's a lot of talent, like Jadon Sancho is from and so on. It's good to see a top Premier League side.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough, transfer ban. But still, though, it's phenomenal. I mean,
south of the river, they're not distracted by the tube.
There could well be. There could
true,
well be.
Although Chelsea is north of the river.
Yeah, I know.
And Matt Ritchie will be playing. Will he? Is Matt Ritchie going to play?
He's back from injury, so you imagine he'd get his. He looked really good against. He's from Rochdale, but he's
from Gosport.
He is, yeah. No better than what you already had, I believe, was Portland, the thing they said.
So there will be two players from my hometown on display in the Premier League this weekend, Marcus. I mean, any from Ashdod or?
I mean, what, you're taking a whole borough compared to a village?
Gosport and Portsmouth, combined population of probably about 300,000.
Yeah, that's not fair.
But can I go back to the point you made about Chelsea and Frank Lampard's comments against Burnley saying that...
please.
Saying that it was the... What were the words he said? Best performance of the season or something? Well, usually that's disrespectful in a big way to the 7-1 win they had over Grimsby in the League Cup in September. But that aside...
He might have said in the league.
Okay, fine. That aside, there's not actually... If you look back, and I don't think I'm forgetting anything obvious here... If you look back, there's not actually really been a proper sort of hallmark Frank Lampard Chelsea home performance this season. Mm. Look at the games they've won at home. So they beat Forest in the FA Cup 2-0. They beat Lille in the Champions League 2-1. They beat Villa 2-1 at home. They beat Palace 2-0 at home. They beat Newcastle 1-0 at home. They beat Brighton 2-0 at home. I can't remember a game this season where you've gone, wow, they look brilliant at home.
And they've lost a lot of games at home. Bournemouth, West Ham, to name a couple. Mm. There's one or two others in there. Mm. So you're right.
They lost home to Southampton, of course, as well.
Yeah, well, Southampton are decent though, mate. representing that South Coast. But you're right. Their home form hasn't been brilliant. They've been better away from home. So I think he was very pleased to kind of get that result. And I think Tammy Abraham talked about, you know, we want to play, what did he say, beautiful football in front of the fans and get them all going. So people might think, oh, he only won 3-0 at home to Burnley. It could have been more. Well, actually, perhaps is a more significant performance and result than one may think. But going up against Newcastle away, the fortress of St James's,
it's tough. Tough ask for anyone.
Chelsea would take a point, wouldn't they?
Ashley will be hanging around. When are looking to tap up a couple of these Chelsea players? Let's bring them in on big contracts.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
Olivier Giroud.
Like that success story that is Kennedy. Sorry, Marcus.
No, you're absolutely right. Back to Jimmy Hoffa again, aren't we?
Yeah.
Olivier Giroud could be off to Inter. At the time of recording, he isn't.
What is Antonio Conte up to? You got Chong's agent in reception at Inter Milan, apparently. Yeah. Like you got... What's happening?
Conte's on the move. He is on the move.
Lars was saying that if on ITC yesterday, Lars was saying that if he just took the first half of games in Serie A, Inter would be top by 12 points.
Yeah. Oh, right.
He's just looking to strengthen as much as he can. But I mean,
is that bringing in players who have played at in a league that is a bit more physical and you've got to run around a little bit more?
I don't know. But one thing that is interesting, the guy said, is that if Giroud's gone from wanting to play to go into play under Conte Inter.
Behind Lukaku and Martinez. Yeah.
Where he definitively will not play.
Yeah.
So it's a strange situation because he wants to be selected for France in the Euros this summer.
Right.
I mean, I know this sounds like a proper Little Englander thing to say, but go to like a mid-table Premier League team. You'll play every game. Well, he's still good enough.
Team's interested
in
it.
And they want him.
However, though, if you're not going to play, would you rather not play
in Milan
with no sunshine or not play with sunshine?
But if he wants to play, yeah, this is the last chance he's going to have to play in a big a big tournament.
He's already won the World Cup.
It's his words, not mine.
What more does he want? That's the spirit. That's how you get to the top and stay there.
Yeah, exactly. I have achieved a lot, so I probably won't bother. That's Pete all over, that is.
But I feel sorry. I'm sure you probably talked about on RTC, but like Alexis Sanchez is just back from injury as well.
Oh, I forgot about him, yeah.
Because he started the season, I think it was against Sampdoria, looking all right, looking like he could play.
He's a good player, let's not forget, with
Martinez, but now obviously Lukaku's taking over that kind of partnership, and he's not going to get a look in, so he's probably going to move on. You're bringing in
Newcastle will have him on loan, won't they?
I would love Olivier Giroud.
He was linked with them, wasn't he?
Alone. I know.
They're lonely.
He's not.
Lonely. Right, I'm not paying him his wages, but I'll take it.
They've got Andy Carroll. You don't need Giroud.
Tempter.
There we are. Yeah. All right. Let's have some emails then, ladies and gentlemen, with that man, PTD. You email short football ramble daily.com.
And now Pete is reading it out. Well done. I'm so over that because I know the Masked Winger jingle's coming up later.
Ah, don't tempt them.
Well, for the Football Ramble Daily Live Tour, we did a Twitter-based song, Rimba. That's never been aired on the show, so maybe I'll stick that in at some point.
I'll tell you what, though, we should say that on our Twittles that we are chucking out some of the videos that we played in our live shows. There's
check
some fantastic ones there. We've got My Good Guide for Goals.
Marcus Spurs Good Guide to Goals. Version 3?
I think it's volume 4.
I think it's volume 4.
Maybe
not.
It's like Rambo. Yeah. while we're just doing that quickly, Pete, sorry to butt in, but we'll just quick plug for the social media because we haven't plugged it for a long time. At Football Ramble is the Twitter handle and Instagram is Football Ramble Daily.
Yeah.
So get involved on that. We share lots of extra stuff on there.
Yeah, we do.
And if you want even more extra stuff, you can also become a patron over at patreon.com/footballrambledaily. There's lots of different tiers to choose from. We're going to revamp the tiers soon as well. There's plenty to get stuck into. But sorry, Pete, emails.
That's all right. Hello to Ben. Excuse me. Could have done that cough while you were speaking, but I did not because I'm a pro. Hello, chaps. Been a while since my last email from Asia, but not much has been going on here in Hong Kong. I mean, I disagree news-wise, but...
Have you not been outside?
You barricaded yourself in your house.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's a further update on King Kazu Miura. What's well known is that he signed a new contract to play in the J1 League at 53, which is, So he's got an interesting story, that bloke. His dad was pretty deep in organised crime. But what isn't known so well is that his dressing room resembles more of an old folks' home. Right, so Golden Oldie Kinkazoo is 53, right?
Yeah.
Some of the ages of these players is ridiculous. Yeah. Yuta Minami is 40. Akihiro Tashige is 32. Yuji Rokutan is 32. Masahiko Inoue is 34. Ijiro Takedo is 31. Masakazu Toshiro is 31. Leandro's 36. Calvin Jong Epin is 33. Daisuke Matsui is 38. And Shinsuke Nakamura is 41. Ibalajab is 34. Few players in the squad are also fresh-faced, inexperienced 30-year-olds, which makes the AC Milan squad of the 2000s look like a youth team. Ben Bezzard.
Do they have a youth academy at all?
It's incredible, isn't it? Incredible. They are going to get tortured.
He got to the point there where you were saying he's 30 and then going to say another number. I'm thinking, yeah, that's fine. I'm thinking, hang on, he's 38, one bloke. He's the guys in the 40s and the 50s I'm concerned about. You know? Yeah.
They're going to need that bone machine, pixie style.
We've got a load of younger runners for you, so don't worry about it. Yeah. How old are they? 38. That's not that young.
I know the J League's a lot of like journeyman Brazilian footballs and stuff, but they're like, they are ancient.
Yeah. Do you like watching the J League?
Of course he does.
Well it's 4 o'clock in the, like, it's really late in the morning.
Answer the question.
It?
You're on up at that time, knocking around.
I watched the highlights of Ventfret Cafu, which are my unofficial J League team.
There you go.
What are
they called? Sorry?
Ventfret Cafu. It's a French word.
Which
for
city are they from?
They are in a place called Cafu, just outside Tokyo. Oh, okay. Just near Mount Fuji, just past Mount Fuji.
Oh.
They're good. It's a lovely place to watch football if you ever get the chance. Marcus Dassan, love the pod, guys. Just to chip in with Luke calling Danny Drinkwater drinky.
That's actually Claudio Ranieri.
The confusion's easy to understand.
Yeah.
I once played for a Sunday League team in Sussex with none other than the brother of Danny Drinkwater. He played a number of games for us across one season and was genuinely the best player by far, and we weren't half bad, even if I say so myself. However, I absolutely, for life of me, cannot remember his name. In fact, I'm not actually sure we ever knew it. We simply knew him as Drinky.
Wow.
There you go. All those mentions of Drinky take me back to those games and his quite spectacular performances, despite being a little overweight and quite unfit.
Wasn't Roger Johnson Drinky?
Yeah.
Was that a different thing?
Yeah, similar.
Possibly, yeah. Paul Schofield, the Masked Winger soundtrack, the music, reminds him of the Japanese video game Katamari Damacy. If you've never played that, it's quite a bit of fun. And Colonel John Gardner, or maybe it's just Colin John Gardner, but he's short on the call, so that's nice.
Colonel! I hope he's an actual colonel. That'd be great.
Are there any colonels listening? Do get in touch and prove it. While I have to confess a begrudging love of the Masked Winger jingle, I can't help but be put off by Pete's pronunciation of the word mask. The elongated R is a blatant slap to the face of the collective north of England.
I did think that in the...
Yeah. Well, I think legitimacy of song, you adopt a different accent, don't you?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, we'll hear later.
And also, I think I said it before, it's really hard to sing in my accent without sounding like you're trying to take off Vic and Bob. So.
And I think also, you're just assimilating to your surroundings,
exactly.
Finally.
I just want you guys to respect
finally.
Me.
Finally. That's what this project's all been about.
Finally, for now, a little bit of Wings news.
Bennett,
big trope of the ramble, obviously. I'm not sure if it's escaped people's attention lately, but there was an entire article in The Athletic, never heard it, didn't spend any money with us, which highlighted what Manchester United's connection with Wings stretches back further than the reign of Louis van Gaal. Apparently, the article in question... I'll just read the bit of the article. Basically, you know Wing's restaurant? Darren Fletcher talks about it quite eloquently. Mr. Wing, apparently, the owner of said restaurant, used to help Dong, the Chinese footballer. Do you remember the guy who had a couple of matches and then sort of disappeared off the face of the planet? Looked pretty good, but just couldn't assimilate, just couldn't get his head around the Premier League. Apparently, Mr. Wing helped him out a lot. He was around the club in that initial phase to help him out. So he was like a translator for Dong Fang Zhao. So it was just fascinating.
Yeah.
Just a restaurateur just turning
That's
up.
That's class. But the Wings restaurant, if you go there, as I have done, there's lots of signed... They've got plates all over the place, which are all signed and pictures. So that, it's been a popular...
Yeah, Balotelli was photographed there. And Van Gaal.
It's been very popular for many years.
But should restaurateurs be Chinese interpreters for Chinese footballers at Manchester United, bearing in mind how that club is supposed to be run?
And they're the richest club in the world.
Exactly.
Very true. You email short football ramble daily. Well Well done indeed. And now it's time for a break.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway, everybody. Yeah. Are you ready to talk about more Premier League action?
I don't think I've ever been more ready for anything.
I'm set.
Apart from that sentence, I was just going to say.
I'm like a coiled spring.
Oh, well then. Watford host Spurs this weekend. Of course, Jose's jamboree continues in the FA Cup after a 2-1 home win to Middlesbrough this week.
Did you see the little mascot running? Running with the ball.
No, at
kickoff. They put the ball down for kickoff. I think I'm almost certain it was in this match. A little lad ran over. He was one of the mascots, and he couldn't have been older than like 6 or something. Mm-hmm. And he just legged it with the ball and scored a goal.
Did he?
Yeah, that's
and
what
he was like,
do.
Yeah!
Did Jose credit him with that goal? Because you know he's giving out statistics.
Well, there's your clean sheet. 1-0.
And he was a Borough mascot, I believe.
It's like they're doing it's like they're doing the clean sheet thing on purpose. Like 2-0 up against Middlesbrough, absolutely cruising, really.
Yeah.
Concede. Yeah. what kind of point are you trying to make, Jose? He is trying to make some kind of point, I'm sure of
well,
it.
Well, he obviously wants to sign a centre half at some point. You know, well, we haven't.
But they have signed Jadson Fernandes. He might shore them up a bit.
Yes. Andy Brassel was talking highly of him.
He was. He said he hasn't played an awful lot last season, but though if you go to At Football Ramble on Twitter, by now there should be a video up of Andy talking about him and what Spurs fans can expect of him. Mm-hmm. So do that over At Football Ramble. It kind of feels like a bit of a win-win for Spurs. 18-month loan.
Yeah.
Don't have to buy him if they don't want to. If he turns out to be brilliant, they've got a deal in place, as Andy was saying, which is far less than the buyout clause. So they need numbers, don't they need bodies.
Especially in midfield as well.
Desperately. So I don't think he's not going to play against Watford, I don't think. But
he looks good, as you say. He's only 21. He's not playing that much against Benfica, so he's not coming in as a player who's like one of the main men of a big side abroad. Mm. And then he's like, well, I want to play football, and he's going to get a bit itchy if he doesn't. Obviously, he wants to play. But also, his family already live in London.
That's right.
So he should be a bit more settled. I wonder if Geddy's aunt is here.
But not getting his game, not playing that much football.
I think it's Jeddy.
Slide him right
in. Jeddy?
Yeah, so my Jeddy aunt doesn't work as well. Sorry, Pete.
It's the closest we've come.
Do it again.
My Jeddy aunt.
No, I don't mind
that
it.
Okay, well, we'll see how
But isn't it fascinating how the Premier League ebbs and flows? Because a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, you'd look at this and go, well, Spurs need... It's a great game for Spurs to get back to winning ways. They've lost. They haven't won their last three in the league. But Watford look brilliant.
Unbeaten in five. They've won four of those games.
This has got a Deeney hat-trick written all over it.
Oh, yeah.
Old Tanganga, don't worry about making your debut against Liverpool front three. You're in for a treat against Troy Deeney this weekend.
It is, yeah. I mean,
Watford's midweek match got cancelled, so they're nice, well-rested.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
Thanks, Storm Brendan.
Yeah.
Oh, Brendy. On that,
is that
though,
what the wind was this week?
Did you hear how? Do you know how? Do you know how windy it was on the official thing
in Ireland? I think it was like 80 miles an hour.
I've got it here. Yeah. The official Storm Brendan here. The official rating for how windy it was is okay.
Unbelievable!
It wasn't worth waiting for. It was not worth waiting for.
Well, I'll tell Marcus Spur that because he's absolutely loving it. Pete,
is he quicker than Jaffa Tenganga? No,
no.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Oh dear. You got me there.
Yeah, no worries.
Fair play.
Hey, that thing I had prepared, I was worried you were going to get in there ahead of me.
You know what? I should have. I should have picked up on that.
Storm Brendan, Pete. You like that?
I think it's okay. I think it's okay. Yeah,
we're doing this for the environment, okay?
Rubbish.
There were very high winds, though. But yes, Watford are away to Tranmere in the FA Cup on the 23rd of Jan, of course. The fourth round begins
on the 26th. Because
of
the rescheduled game, basically, yeah.
Absolutely. Due to there being such little time in between these fixtures, Watford will put fourth round tickets on sale before they play Tranmere.
Oh, that's a spicy meatball.
Never ends well.
That's a spicy meatball.
Do you think that the Tranmere players may get some inspiration from that?
I think the Tranmere, who worked tirelessly all day to get that pitch ready but failed, should be punished, frankly, for not allowing the game to be played.
Do you think?
Yeah. It's their own fault.
And also they're destroying the environment because they're having to print tickets that might never be used.
Nah, it's all done on an app now, bruv. Is it? I don't know.
I don't think it is.
No, probably not.
On the Watford app.
Yeah.
Yes, but Pearson done a great job, as we know. Whereas, but actually, there might be something else going on at Watford. It's maybe not all Pearson's work, because Suvesh Pandya, who controls the main gate at Watford's Hertfordshire training base, believes an ancient Hindu ritual is also helping. He said, when asked about this, "It's my coconuts." "Every time Mr. Pearson drives in, I shake his hand and say, well done. Then I put a coconut under the front wheel of his car and he runs it over and cracks it."
What?
Yeah, apparently it's an ancient Hindu ritual, the cracking of coconuts.
I thought, when you said that, I thought like under his brake.
Under his brake pad.
I don't want to doubt Mr. Pandya, and I'm sure he's a man of...
Well, you can't doubt him. Look at the results.
But why has he waited this long? Why has he thought, do you know what?
No, right, because he's a humble guy. No one's probably asked.
It's got
him.
This bad. I am going to do the coconut thing now.
Yeah. Oh,
do it before. Do it at the start of the season.
I see what you mean.
Do it before the cup final.
Yeah, but I think that he probably thought to himself, would, you know, the likes of Javi Gracia or... But
I reckon Javi Gracia walked into the dressing room before the FA Cup final and said, "Bad news, guys. Mr. Pandya's run out of coconuts. So you're going to get a 6-0 out of this best."
Well,
but luckily, a horse is arriving with some clump, 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 clump. Clump.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he had the coconuts lined up and Guardiola saw it and drove over them.
Yeah, he got the magic from it.
Exactly.
Would the same thing work with like cocoa water?
No, it's got to be coconuts.
Sorry, it just sounded very northeastern then. Cocoa water.
Stop trying to water it down. Literally.
Exactly. It's not for you hipsters, mate. This is proper old. This is old school Hindu rituals, mate. No, you would like this. You go and get this in Hackney Wick.
Oh, what Hinduism is hardly modern.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm helping Hinduism become modernised. All right, guys.
Yeah, good for you. You're modernising Hindu. Could that work, dear? Yes, I'm modernising Hinduism. Hinduism, yeah.
Well done, Petey. Nothing you can't do.
Yeah, baby.
So yes, Pearson and the coconuts. It's a match made in heaven, and Watford are very much reaping those rewards. They've signed Ignacio Pusetto from Udinese for $7 million. Don't know too much about him, but we'll probably find out.
Tried to get some information from Andy and Lars about that yesterday. They did not give a shit.
Yeah, so they're interested in a few players there in the transfer window. So at this time, it's always a bit of a tricky one, of course. But you're right, Luke, what you said at the top of this little Watford Spurs chat, which I think we've been very comprehensive in. Watford, you'd probably fancy them as favourites for this game. Favourites might be a bit strong, but certainly, if Watford win this game, it won't be that surprising.
Well, I would like Watford to lose it in dramatic circumstances so Nigel Pearson can have a meltdown. We've not seen a meltdown yet. Mm. No fighting dogs in Eastern Europe. No, are you an ostrich? None of that stuff yet.
Yeah, I'm quite enjoying this Pearson though. He's
see him giving everyone a hug after the game last time out.
I think he's a changed man.
Yeah, I actually think he's probably a little bit underrated, and we probably give him a bit of an unfair time of it because he does some comedy stuff, and he comes across as this kind of stern, quite unremarkable person, but actually, clearly, he has got a lot more to him than that, and he deserves respect for that reason.
Set the foundations for Ranieri.
Absolutely, and I think the scene before that got him out of jail and got him out of relegation trouble. I think they'll have a good time with it, Watford. I wouldn't necessarily say they're favourites. I mean, maybe they are, but they've got a very good chance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For sure, absolutely, especially at home.
Who will be favourites when Norwich host Bournemouth? It's 20th versus
19th. No one gives a shit about this. I mean, I think we're contractually obliged to preview Premier League games. I'm happy to do it.
I do give a shit about this, is it? This is exciting.
Katie!
Is this the first proper six pointer?
Yeah, I think so. And also, Pete, that moment there where Luke says, "I don't give a shit" and "I don't want to talk about it," and you said, "No, but I do give a shit." Your professionalism just trumped Luke's,
mate.
So please continue.
I'm professional. I've modernised Hinduism. We're getting a lot done.
All right then. Well, Norwich versus Bournemouth.
I put a smartwatch on Ganesh's trunk.
I apologise if that offends anybody.
Didn't go for the obvious. Durga, a lot of hands. That would have worked better.
Have you been looking them up the last 5 minutes?
No.
On the big rig? On the powerful computer?
You'd see the big rig. You can see the big rig from space.
I can't see it. Spin it round now.
Both teams are absolutely awful.
Right.
Neither of them know how to win.
Uh-huh.
They need to be better at the topics.
They do. Everyone. Sure. Well, Norwich's last win in the Prem was away to Everton on the 23rd of November.
The halcyon Marco Silva days.
We are deep into. Well, we're fairly deep into January now. They've drawn 2-2 against Spurs and 1-1 with Leicester since. So decent results, you have to say.
Bournemouth have lost 9 of the last 11. Now that is a relegation form.
It very much is. Their last league win was away at Chelsea on the 14th of December. All set up for a 0-0 draw.
Worrying sort of scenes from Eddie Howe, who has been...
It is worrying, yeah.
Except, you know, understandably almost untouchable in his role at Bournemouth because of what he's achieved there. But I felt that when they lost 3-0 at home to Watford, his post-match interview, I wouldn't be an expert in watching how Eddie Howe conducts himself, but obviously I've seen him quite a bit. Mm-hmm. It felt a bit like a sea change, really. He said he'd have to reflect on whether he's doing well enough. Mm-hmm. He said they're in a difficult moment. Mm. He said, I always look at whether I'm doing well enough and whether ultimately I'm helping the team, and that's something I'll have to reflect on. So he's obviously taking it very seriously.
I also think with managers, they sort of, it happens every time, and they must know that there's a shelf life and there's a law of diminishing returns with any managerial position. But they always seem a bit shocked by it, I think.
Well, I think, because Watford, their problem seems to be like... Bournemouth's problem, you know, as we saw against Watford, it was what we talk about when Moyes comes into West Ham or Pearson and Watford and blah, blah, blah. It's kind of like, run around, more energy, please, a bit more discipline, all that kind of stuff, without diminishing Pearson and Shakespeare's tactics at Watford and one or two other bits and pieces. With Eddie Howe, you know, inertia does seem to set in. You know, managers, as we know, don't spend... sort of 10 years or whatever, like
he's been there 7 years. I mean, pretty much to give or take a fortnight, him and Gareth Ainsworth are the longest seven managers in England.
Well, which is sort of where I'm approaching on with my point is that, you know, years ago, a manager would be there 10 years or something like that, even though that wasn't that common. Whereas Howe, I hope, because he, you know, him and Bournemouth go together so well and he's done such a remarkable job there, that it would be a great shame if they went down, and that's how it sort of ended. You would want it to end between Howe and Bournemouth, because it will one day, whether it's now or in a few years' time or whatever, you'd want it to end with Howe getting them, you know, their best place finish in the Prem or something like that, and then he goes on to perhaps a bigger job or something. But it would be a great shame for him and Bournemouth if they go down and that's the end of that. Speaking of players watching games with the fans... as we did recently.
We kind of glossed over that with Ollie McBurney. Apparently, that caused a lot of controversy because he was given it, flipping the bird at the Cardiff fans and stuff.
Yeah, he was loving it.
That's all right, isn't it?
Well, Bournemouth goalkeeper Aaron Ramsdale was in the home end for the Watford match.
He's paid for his ticket, he can do what he wants. But again, also like how Aaron Ramsdale got injured. He just caught a football and his hamstring exploded.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not the look that Bournemouth needs.
Yeah, no, you're right. They've had a lot of injuries.
So should he be in the stand at all?
Well,
he should be in a luxurious box.
He should be sitting.
He's going to stretch his leg out.
No, don't you? Do you want to stretch your leg? I guess you do with a hamstring, don't you?
Don't know.
I don't really know. I frequently have hamstring injuries.
I've never
I do
once,
not know how to solve them.
I've never once run fast enough to get a hamstring injury.
Do you see Norwich right back, Max Ahrens, who's turned a few heads of clubs with his performances in the league? People sniffing around him. Daniel Farke said that any suitors should leave him alone. Yeah. Love the fact that he's getting protective.
How did he say it?
They need to leave him alone.
Leave my beautiful boy alone.
He needs to get better at the topics.
And we need to get better at the topics, don't we, Luke? Because it's now time for Betway's Four to Score.
It is time for Betway's Four to Score. And for those who haven't heard about it before, if you're a new listener, I will explain it to you in just a moment. But before I do that, I'm absolutely delighted to say somebody won £200,000 playing Betway's free-to-play prediction game Four to Score last weekend. Incredibly, it was the second time this season they'd won the jackpot because they also shared £250,000 two ways at the start of September. So this player has now won a total of £325,000 this season.
Without spending a penny.
After winning two separate rounds. So the combined price of all these players to score first was 12 million to one. And he I'll just give you a quick rundown. So at the end of August, he predicted Allaire to score first against Norwich. Then he predicted Mane to score first for Liverpool against Burnley. And across that weekend, he predicted Richarlison to score first against Wolves and then Eriksen to score first against Arsenal. Then fast forward to January, a week ago, Almiron, Firmino, Doucouré and Mahrez, which meant he won again. So he's won twice and a total of £325,000. So well done to him. Four to score entry is free. Just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches each round. If you're correct, you can win up to £25,000 this week. Head to betway.com/4to-score. That's /4 and then to score. And make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Jim's not here, but I've given him Dominic Calvert-Lewin in the game between West Ham and Everton.
David Moyes derby.
Peter, you've got Newcastle v Chelsea.
Joel Linton.
After all that slagging off you've just done.
Just think, you know, these things come in threes over a period of 7 months. Yeah,
but it was only from 2 yards out.
Well, he might get the same opportunity.
One of the long staff.
Almiron. They only rattle balls in from about 30 yards. So.
Andy Carr hasn't scored since
he's
been back.
No, he's not. He hit the upright in midweek. He was very unlucky.
So that's Joel Linton in Newcastle v Chelsea. I've got Burnley v Leicester and I've gone for Jamie Vardy for fairly obvious reasons. Marcus, I've given you the big one.
Liverpool Man United, fresh from his baptism, Roberto Firmino.
Yes. Great.
There you are.
See if he gets a bit of divine intervention.
We'll see. Did you recently get baptised?
Yeah, by Alisson. Minister.
What?
Yeah.
So I've completely missed this.
Lovely
scene. What the fuck is going on here? Do I need to save another religion? Got goalkeepers.
Look it up. It's a good video.
Cool.
Save it.
Yeah.
Save it.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Joel Linton, Jamie Vardy and Roberto Firmino. That's Betway four to score. It's free to play. Betway.com/4to-score for a chance to win £25,000 this week.
There we are.
Do bet the responsible way, though, and you must be over the age of 18 to gamble.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to say it's time for the Masked Winger.
Oh. You did it in his own.
You knew that was coming. You knew that was coming. What's wrong with you?
Because I'm reading about Liverpool star Roberto Firmino baptising in his own swimming pool.
Right, we're doing that again.
He's like a magpie shining.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's my esteemed pleasure to present to you the Masked Winger.
You can't even say it right.
Who's under there? Under the mask. Let's see if we can figure it out. Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Masked Winger.
All right, time for the Masked Winger. I am in the mask and we've got a mystery football to figure out who the heck it is. We're obviously a man down. Jim Campbell, pretty good at these guessing games, but let's see if you guys can... Can I just say,
I think someone sent in some information on one of our social media channels this week saying that Jim is actually bottom this season.
Oh, is he? Right.
So he's got a reputation he's enjoyed from last season, but this season they're saying he's bottom. I'm second bottom, by the way.
Oh, right.
So I'm not doing much better.
Hang on.
Pete's winning.
Is he?
Yeah.
Am I actually winning?
All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Pete's not, of all the people who aren't winning, it's the listeners who are winning.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Pete's the conduit for them winning. Yeah. And then go on, get under your mask and stop it.
You started it, you idiots.
Stop, is it David James?
Get your hands off. Get your hands off my board. I was born the 6th of July, 1973.
Stop. Stevie McManaman.
Like that.
No. I'm actually extending the masked winger brief to be players who have played on the wing, but also central playmakers at the same time as well.
Stop. Lee Sharp.
Not Lee Sharp, no. In 1994, I went on trial with both Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid before joining Boca Juniors on a one-month loan deal. Lucrative.
Can you repeat that, sorry?
Fernando Redondo.
It was not Fernando Redondo.
Repeat the clue,
but I can
please.
Repeat the clue for you, Luke Moore. In 1994, I went on trial with both Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid before joining Boca Juniors on a one-month loan deal.
Fernando Redondo.
No likey.
No righty.
No signing.
No righty. I was my country's player of the year twice in 1993 and 1996, winning player of the year for both clubs I represented in England.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So, representing both clubs you play for in England?
Yeah.
Yeah, winning player of the year for both clubs I represented in England.
Ooh, how about that, eh?
He was a popular player. I joined Manchester City in July 1995 for a reported 2 million, going on to score 22 goals in 118 games in all competitions.
Stop. Is it Paolo Wanchope?
It's not Paolo Wanchope.
That's thrown me there with Man City. No,
I've got another guess as well. Outside the box, but I'll wait for the next clue.
Well, if it's inside the box, clearly, that's the whole thing.
All right, stop. Georgia Kinkladze.
It is Georgia Kinkladze!
No way! Fucking genius!
That.
Yeah. Who's under there? Under the mask. Let's see if we can figure it out. Under the mask, let's see if we can figure it out. It's the mask we are.
It's Kinkladze.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I thought to myself, we can't be him. Boca Juniors.
That was going to be the next guess I was going to make. So you've got
After
there.
Leaving Derby County in 2003, I had trials at Portsmouth, no better than what we've already got. Dundee, Celtic, and Leeds United, who ended my trial after I turned up for training. Late a few times. After a year and a half out of the game, I joined a team in Famagusta in October 2004, who were then managed by player manager Tamira Katsubaya.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
I'm out. George Kogladze, thank you very much to Andrew for those clues.
Love that.
I had no idea he spent any time at Boca Juniors.
Well, that's why that clue was so good.
It might be made up.
Oh yeah, true.
Doesn't matter.
Well, I got it still.
You still won.
So I'll all of yours.
Yeah.
One from one with me for the Masked Winger.
Yeah. 100% record in
there
the Masked
we go,
Winger.
See?
Now's the time to do a Dave Nugent. and take a step back.
What, and you don't let me play it again?
Yes.
Because it was taken from his hands. I think he wanted to play for England again.
Well, did he?
Did he? Certainly achieved what he went out to do. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Jonathan Wilson and I are back tomorrow with another Greatest Games podcast for your ears. Thank you very much to you, Pete Donaldson.
Thank you.
Thank you to you, Luke Moore.
Thanks.
Thank you to me, and thank you to you, listeners. Have a lovely weekend.
Where did Georgie Kinkladze end his career?
Dynamo Tbilisi.
Tbilisi, yeah.
It wasn't. Ruben Kazan.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah. You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him,
Listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. We'll be right back.